Welcome to Movie Cigars and a Brew with Keith and Andrew. I'm Keith.
I'm Andrew.
We're at week 10 now, Andrew.
Wow, and nobody's ordered us to cease and desist.
Well, speaking of that, we just played some music from Scott McCampbell, and he's given us another song to play. That's sort of a jazzy number, and we'll use it on the break, I guess.
We'll use it. Yeah.
And then we'll play it in its entirety at the end.
Nice.
So I'm kind of looking forward to that because it's nice that he continues to let us do that.
Right, and we keep getting those invoices.
Yes, which we've not paid.
No, it's in the mail, Scott.
Yeah. Just wait, it's coming for you, pal. So we do appreciate it, and you can look him up at Scott McCampbell Guitar on Facebook. So we enjoy that. So what are we going to talk about today, Mr. Kwan?
So I guess this is the animation episode.
Yes, it is.
The two movies. So the first one was Brave, 2012, directed by Mark Andrews, Brenda Chapman, and Steve Purcell. And starring / voices are Kelly MacDonald, Billy Connolly, and Emma Thompson.
Excellent.
And I guess the description off of IMDb was, determined to make her own path in life, Princess Merida defies a custom that brings chaos to her kingdom. Granted one wish, Merida must rely on her bravery and her archery skills to undo a beastly curse. And I guess the other movie we paired this with is Wreck-It Ralph, 2012, directed by Rich Moore, starring John C. Reilly, Jack McBrayer, Jane Lynch, Sarah Silverman. And what does IMDb say? A video game villain wants to be a hero and sets out to fulfill his dream, but his quest brings havoc to the whole arcade where he lives.
Well, these two movies went head-to-head in the
Oscars?
Yeah, in the Oscars. And Brave actually took the Oscar this year. So
okay.
This was an appropriate pairing this week, I think. So what's the cigar we're trying today?
Cigar of the week is a Nica Libre. The size is Exclusivo, 6x54. The country is Nicaragua. The wrapper is a San Andreas Maduro. The binder is a Habano, which is kind of interesting. The filler is Nicaragua. And it's Cigars International exclusive.
So you said the filler is Habano?
The binder is Habano.
The binder is Habano. Right. Now, you called that interesting.
Yeah, I always think when they use different types of... So we know what the wrappers are. So we've had Habano wrappers
right
on cigars. So when they do like a little switch-up, they put in a Habano, right? It's supposed to, the two different flavors are supposed to contrast and, I guess, help each other. Like, I've seen Cameroon wrappers as binders. It's not just a regular leaf. They use a different type. It's probably because it wasn't good enough to be a wrapper in terms of it's not pretty enough. But they also do it for flavors. Whenever they contrast two different wrappers, I always find it interesting.
Okay. Well, you also said this was from Cigars International.
Yeah, it's an exclusive of Cigars International, Cigars.com, CBID. So I checked the prices today on CBIT. You could probably get a box for about $50 to $60. So I guess the thing with this cigar was that it was sort of advertised as a Padron copy. Right? Padrones, for those who smoke cigars or for those who don't, are a really high-end cigar. Their baseline's affordable, but their top-end cigars can be upwards to $30, $35. The thing with Padrones is that they're aged. Their baseline's aged 3 years minimum. And then the higher end stuff's age 7, so you get that aged quality to them.
Going back to our conversation about Cubans, is there a Padron version in Cuba?
No, Padron's a non-Cuban.
It's name. A non-Cuban yeah. brand.
It's
all
actually
the way
named after, I think, Jose Padron.
Okay.
So he actually, I think, he is a Cuban refugee,
ethnicity?
Exile, or whatever okay. you want to call it. So that's just real quick. That's the thing with non-Cubans, right? When they first had to become self-sustaining outside of Cuba, one of the things that they learned early on is if they can age tobacco, it gets better.
Right.
So a lot of high-end cigars are aged minimum 3 to 7 years, and you can taste it. Whereas the Cuban cigars are not aged at all, not even like 3 months sometimes.
Okay.
So a lot of times the cigar world, the cigar geeks will say, you got to wait 10 years. That's why some of these people, high-end guys, have like, rooms full of cigars because they're waiting very patiently. Now, you and I are not going to wait 10 years to open a box of cigars.
No.
But that's the knock on Cubans today, is that you got to wait a long time for them to lose their ammonia just to naturally, go through some of the, they call it the sick period, mm-hmm. where it's going to taste pretty awful.
Huh. Interesting. So, the beer of the week is the Rogue Double Bock Chocolate Stout, double chocolate stout. Rogue is a brewer out of Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
And, you know, it fits into the same class of similarity with a lot of the ones that we've had of late from the craft brew variety in the United States. They started up in like 1988 with a couple of frat boys from from University of Oregon.
Oh, so Nike sponsored them too? It's not green.
So no, well, they have all different colored bottles, so I wouldn't take this bottle from to mean anything. But them, along with a friend of theirs, were approached by, of all people, their accountant, who was a home brewer.
So, you gotta like people with accounting degrees.
Absolutely. You know,
the smartest people in the world.
I immediately have a genuine respect for them. But here's what I can say is, together they built this brand, and now, I mean, like this double rogue, double chocolate stout has won numerous awards. And these guys, I mean, this bottle, I think, goes for like $12.
Wow.
Just for 1.9 ounces. And so it's sort of
High-end beer.
It's a high-end beer. And, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing to be sitting around talking about a high-end beer, you know, from humble beginnings. And that's the thing of that we've kind of been a theme of mine for a while here with the craft brews, is that they found niches and people like that kind of stuff. You know, you're not drinking a case of them, you're drinking it because it's an enjoyable taste, and you're in it for the taste, not for just to get a lot of volume and do keg stands, you know. So,
oh, we're not doing
well, not this week.
Okay.
Yeah, not yet. So that's what I want to say about that. I enjoy it. What do you think of it? I think it's pretty good.
Chocolate. I think we had a chocolate stout a couple weeks ago.
Well, right? I tried to bring it back because your responses for the past couple weeks have been a little lukewarm to some of the choices.
Well, I am by no means a beer expert, so
no, that's fine. But I figured I'd try to throw you one that was back in your own palate there. So that's
you know what you could do is buy empties and then just fill it up with like Michelob Ultra.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even know.
You wouldn't even know the difference. Right. I still think at some point we have to do the light beer challenge. We've talked about this.
I think we should.
We really should. We'll put Michelob, put Bud Light,
Coors
Light, and line those up, blind taste test, and see if we – because you have a particular one that you like, and I have a particular one that I like. And then I kind of have two that I don't like as much. So – I kind of like to see because the saying is that
you can't tell
the difference at the end of the day, you know. So this would be blind for us.
All right, listen, I will let you blindfold me, but I'm not taking my pants down again.
That's a part of the test, all right.
Not the second time.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it worked once before. So so we'll talk about what we think about them later. So let's get into the movies here.
So obviously it was Disney/Pixar. I don't remember if they're both Pixar. I don't know if it matters anymore. But
I don't think it does.
I think for a while there, everybody said Pixar was doing all the heavy lifting as opposed to Disney.
Right.
I guess I'll just come out with my first point is you talk about each
Uh-oh.
Week.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. What's going on here? You gave me those eyebrows. What is it? What
well,
are
you talk about
here?
Each week how you hate formulaic movies.
I struggled with this.
Right.
Because I don't think I think all the Disney movies.
Well, that was my whole point, was that two things, right? All right, so for the record, I enjoyed both. Right.
I did too.
I enjoyed, just from watching a movie perspective.
Yes.
Wreck-It Ralph had the video game nostalgia that you and I, right up our alley.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Brave was a cute movie.
Yeah, it was.
I think she was the first female protagonist in Disney's lineup. I think that in every other Disney princess story, there's like a main prince. She was like, the first female protagonist. Right? It only took them like, you know, 113 years to get to this point.
And make sure that Walt's very dead in the ground before they pull this one off, right?
But I guess my point being is that in America, animation is dumbed down. Because it's expected to be for kids.
Right.
And I think that's a little unfair. And I don't know how to solve this problem, because the only thing I can compare it to is Japanese anime. And I think I mentioned this a long time ago, that anime for Japan was a necessity because after the war, they didn't have the infrastructure to create a Hollywood studio.
Right.
But they still wanted entertainment.
And they could draw.
Right, but it's easier to draw a universe as opposed to CGI or even building sets.
Yeah, you can do a lot more stuff with that right. than you can.
But it was more out of necessity when they started. Yeah. So all their tradition has been, these are movies. Right. They're not for kids. They're not dumbed down. There's violence. There's nudity. It's for grown-ups.
Right.
And again, there's age appropriateness. They have rated G stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess what makes it over here, or what's popular over here, is the grown-up movies. Just like The Matrix, the Wachowski brothers paid homage to Ghost in the Shell on many elements. They copied a lot of stuff, and we all loved The Matrix, right? We thought that science fiction was dead on. We thought that. So to me, I don't know why in this country cartoons, there's your word, animation, is only for kids. And that's my first problem, is that because we dumb it down, it's formulaic.
Well, okay, that's true, except I think the whole Adult Swim thing at night, there's a lot of weird. Like,
yeah, but they're not full-featured movies that we get to watch.
Like, so you're talking about from a full-featured perspective.
I'm talking about, like, I think we mentioned the Oscars. I don't know what the other animation nominations were, but I guarantee they're all kids' movies.
I don't know if there was anything else nominated.
I think it was like three.
Was it three?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Hotel Transylvania was the
other
one.
That's a kid movie.
Yeah.
But my point being is the majority of mainstream Disney / Pixar are kids' movies.
Yeah. But that's a cultural thing that's not, I don't necessarily deem that as bad.
No, but I was just saying how it's formulaic, because that's the word of the day.
Well, okay, so taking it back a step,
all right.
For me, looking at the two movies, Wreck-It Ralph was full of nostalgia, and they kind of built the world around
40-year-olds.
Well, yeah, a little bit. And I guess what's funny is, what if they make a video game about this movie? Isn't that kind of like we're in a warp world? We're gonna go. You know what I'm saying? Like, and what's kind of cool about it is they could jump between genres here.
Yeah, and play different games.
You could play different games in that. I mean, and I actually read that might be a part of reason why they made this movie. Although this has been partially in development for, I think, 3 decades.
Right.
They were thinking about in the 80s and 90s. The 90s and in the 2000s.
Right.
In fact, in the 2000s, I think they worked for several months with Felix being the lead.
Yep.
You know, so.
And Fix It Felix.
Yeah, Fix It Felix being
the
lead.
Which is a pretty good adult movie title.
Yeah, I guess. He needs a fix, Felix. Right.
Fix this, Felix.
Yeah, so. The other thing is Brave was much more, lent itself more to Aesop fable type stuff a little bit in a certain sense where somebody becomes somebody else and then there's, you know, the moral. Now they had a witch in it, but you didn't really get the sense that she was really evil. She was almost like the witch that, eventually taught her a good thing. You know, like, you know, like gave her the lesson, you know, made everything come full circle. One of the things I didn't like, but I guess it had to be that way, was each one of the guys that she liked, and they, when they drew them, they made sure that they were all visibly
buffoons.
Well, visibly dislikable.
Right.
You know, you had the one guy with the big chin, he looked kind of chubby
Oafish.
And fat.
Yeah.
And kind of dumb,
right.
You know. You had to have that with it. Second guy, kind of thought he was a hot shot, but he had a great big giant schnoz.
And so he also had a temper tantrum.
Yeah, and he had a temper tantrum. But the thing was, is you know, so they had some visible characteristics. Then they also had to have
a personality
deficiency. They had the little guy that just looked weird.
What was wrong with him? He looked like Frank Perdue.
Was he your favorite?
He looked
is that what you're trying to say?
He looked like Frank Perdue's son.
I don't know. He looked like part chicken to me. I don't know what he was. And he had to be a stupid guy that was, you know, with the you know, didn't know how to fire. You know how to bite people. Yeah. You know?
Right.
Standing behind the Adonis that was standing there.
Yeah, I don't know what that guy was. That was just a freak. He was on
the
wrong.
Well, he was the one that was making out with the old lady at the end, the one that stuck the stuck
the
key in her boobs. You know,
I think he was from another movie.
I don't know.
He was from Wreck-It Ralph.
I think he was the guy that was Wreck-It Ralph took his suit.
He's a Marine.
He was the Marine.
And was a hero's duty.
He was doing a double. He was doing a double
he
over
got
there.
Confused. So here's the thing, right? Wreck-It Ralph, besides nostalgia, there's a part of you that says a bad guy wants to be a good guy, or a bad guy wants to be accepted. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
So first off, all my formulaic stuff with kids' movies, what are you going to do? I mean, they're all going to be a version of one of these stories.
Right. Well,
somehow.
Let's go back to the formulaic thing. I don't actually have a problem with formulaic, right?
Well, you raised your eyebrows
well,
and you were like,
this is your hot topic. It's your hot button.
I don't like it for movies that are meant for adults.
Right. I'm
much.
Saying
I
that
I like original
I'm
stuff.
Saying here's the clause.
Okay.
You can do a formulaic movie, but you better do something, either put a twist to it or do it extremely well. It's kind of like cooking, right? All these foodies out there will say this. Everybody wants you to keep it simple. Oh, by the way, if you do it simple, you better have the best ingredients, the freshest,
right.
And you better have some skills.
Yeah.
It applies to, like, formulaic movies. When I go see an action movie, I know it's an action movie. I know what's going to happen. But somehow wow me, and it doesn't have to be CGI or despite CGI, but throw something in there. Right? We were talking about nostalgia. Right, the Untouchables or the Unknowables or the Old Peoples or what is that movie with the ensemble cast of all the old?
We're going to do the same break we did before. The Unwatchables. We're going to the Expendables.
Expendables.
Yes.
Right? So here's
the same break.
Here's
by the way.
Thing with me, by the way. That's perfect lead into Wreck-It Ralph. It's all nostalgia. These guys are all guys I used to like back in the day. They're all on walkers and wheelchairs now, and it's just a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see the second one yet, but that's how I thought about the first one. So to be clear, I don't have a problem with formulaic. That just makes your life harder to either knock it out of the park or do a twist on it.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
But to be fair with the kids' movies, they don't do either. They just it's dumbed down for everybody. Right. Here's my problem with so Wreck-It Ralph. The premise I like: bad guy wants to be good or bad guy wants to be accepted. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
Brave is a whiny little brat. That's all she is.
Yeah. Right?
And I'll get into
right.
this a little bit more later on, but all she is you've been groomed as a princess your whole life. Yes, it might not be what something you want to do.
Right.
But just like Downton Abbey, all right, we all have to play a part.
Okay.
But it's one of those things where if this was a real life movie with people, it would be like some melodrama on Lifetime for teenagers. She's a brat who... you know, didn't appreciate why she had to do what she had to do. Yeah, maybe you don't have to marry the oaf, the hair guy, and the chicken man. But let's be honest, at the core of this tale, if this was Lifetime with Lindsay Lohan, she'd be a crack addict or something. Right? She was just a brat saying, I don't like this. I don't want this. There's no... As much as I like the movie and as much as I want... So the bigger issue isn't the movie... But it's the failure of Hollywood to give women proper parts because you can argue we don't know what they are. I mean, I'm a guy. I can't tell you what. Right? There's some weird test out there. I came across this on a feminist website. I don't know why I was there. Trust me. So here's the test. For this movie to count, you have to have two female characters who have a conversation with each other, and the conversation cannot deal with a romantic love interest male. And they said every year thousands of movies are released, and only like three have this criteria. Now, you know I'm not a feminist, but to make their point, I don't think we as Hollywood or we as the audience know how to project strong female characters without alienating the frat boys who go to movies or something, right? Because it's about dollars, it's about ratings, at the end of the day... It's about guys who control Hollywood, right? I'm not Grant's conspiracy guy. I'm just saying, how can we make Brave not about a whiny teenager? I don't know.
Well, I think all teenager movies tend to be about a whiny girl.
Yeah, but this is the first female lead.
Right, but here's the other thing. A lot of the parts that women like identify with themselves are that type of character.
No,
go watch Lifetime. That's TV
well,
for women.
Yeah, but you know why that works is because it's all the injustice women face. It's not like I want to be raped by a whole bunch of people and then make it through the court testimony. No, it's the Injustice Channel.
Okay,
all I'm saying is like if you can combine the two movies and Princess Merida or whatever her name was more like Jane Lynch's character and she went to go fight a battle. Or something,
right?
If she did something besides, yeah, I know she fought the bear, but she had to let her mother.
Well,
there's not a lot of strong. Right, if this was a male, if you flip it and you say this was a male character, we'd laugh, right? We'd be like, "What do you do? He didn't conquer anybody. He didn't, right? Because for men, we have to conquer, we have to achieve. We're goal oriented.
Got to get a gold medal. Like,
you gotta go. You gotta get a gold medal. Right?
Yeah.
Right. At least Sarah Silverman's character had to win a race. What did this girl do? She whined.
Well, it was a coming of age thing for her. It was, and it was also her getting acceptance for the fact that she did not want to be
told what
she did. She did not want to have to marry some guy that she did not care for.
She wanted to marry the chauffeur.
Well, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but I think you bring up an interesting point on the other side is how do you create strong parts for women that are readily accepted by the masses?
And, watchable and sellable, because you got to make money.
Yeah, so you got to think about the types of movies like A Devil Wears Prada.
Right.
Yeah, there was some different types of women in that, and you didn't necessarily like the strong woman.
Any of them.
I kind of liked Anne Hathaway's character, but anyway. But the point is there's some different depictions of women, and there was also different depictions of their dealing with different sexuality and stuff like that. A woman that has a strong character in the workplace, etc., comes off as kind of like a bitch, you know.
Right, in real life.
In real life, yeah. I mean, they're not. It's not usually. It's hard for that person to get the credibility, you know. And it seems like that's a formulaic typecast for that type of character. So I think you bring up a good point there. But I didn't really have a problem. This is a kids' movie.
No, I like the movie.
I know all this stuff starts when they're kids, you know, so you got a point there. But I didn't really have a problem with it. I was a little like, I could see where the movie was going, but I was waiting to see what was going to happen. I thought it was kind of cute. It was the same story.
I think it was a really cute movie. I don't want anybody people to think that I disliked it. But comparing the two movies, right, the male guy gets to do all these achievements.
Right.
The little girl whined. And it's not fair to say that, but that's how I sort of contrasted the two. Right. Again, I liked both movies. I enjoyed Brave.
The only thing I can say, this is a Disney movie that doesn't end with her marrying a prince.
Okay.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, almost every – well, and then Brave 2 will probably – you're right.
Is
that's what
Brave
I was
two?
Actually saying. No, I'm just – what I was actually thinking is they've set this up for her to actually find her love. You know, in a second Brave movie.
What if she
went to
Mohawk?
Probably be straight to DVD or something like that. Who knows? I don't. But you know, but it won. I'll guarantee you, they'll make a Brave 2 because it won an Oscar.
Right.
So there'll be a Brave 2.
It probably did pretty well in the box. If I remember,
I think it did. Right. I guess an interesting question there is: do you think it should have won over Wreck-It Ralph?
I could see why.
You can see why. To me, the thing that kind of lends itself to that was the whole. This was that fable. It was kind of like a fable type story.
Okay.
I mean, like, you know, when you turn into a bear, those anthropomorphic sort of transferences. I may have misused it, but I probably did actually. But when you turn into something else, literally become something else, you know, and it's that same kind of story. Be careful what you wish for, type of thing.
Right.
It may not work out the way you want because like her realization. I wished for you to change, and then, you know, you can see what that can result in because you see the evil bear and you can see it a little bit in the mother when she lost a little bit of control.
Yeah, when she
started
losing her, yeah. To be fair, the witch should have said the side effects, just like, you know, those commercials we see on TV. One of the side effects is she'll become a bear.
You'll grow hair on your hands. One of the side effects.
If this proceeds for more than 4 hours, please contact us.
Yeah.
Again, it was a very cute movie. I'm not knocking it. I guess, you know, stop thinking, right? That's part of the problem. You go to a movie, you watch it, you go home. You're not supposed to overthink it. By nature of this podcast, we're going to overthink things.
Well, yeah, it's fine. We don't usually talk about kids' movies, and
right.
So this is, you know, this is kind of an interesting topic. I thought it was pinned the two together. They were the two that were up.
Right.
There's a nostalgic aspect for us because we're, you know, from the era of we played those games. So to talk about Wreck-It Ralph for a little bit, there was talk at a certain point to have that movie for the Wreck-It Ralph character, I guess Felix, to actually be shot in 8-bit.
Right.
To have the different characters shot in their time period.
Different resolutions.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Wreck-It Ralph, Felix, Fixer or whatever.
Fixin' Felix.
It was Donkey Kong,
right.
Basically, without it being Donkey Kong. Right. It was supposed to be that. So you kind of see where they were coming from on that aspect. But, you know, with this movie, it was like they were trying to tie it into to your nostalgia for video games.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I actually, one of the things I thought was the way they casted it. I liked the characters that they put in. They had the perfect people as far as I was concerned.
Right.
Riley.
Yeah.
What's his?
John C. Riley.
John C. Riley. You can't remember who he is, just like you couldn't remember.
No, who I know he was. Who he is because he's part
he's
of
in
that.
Chicago. But
no,
I mean,
no, but he's part of that. I'm a loser, but I'm such a good actor that you'll. Right. He's part of that whole band of misfits, is what I call.
Yeah. He's right. A perfect loser in every.
Yeah.
He's got a loser sounding voice.
Yeah.
You know, he just sounds like a loser.
Yeah.
What's his name? The guy from
Macy, William H. Macy, and then the guy from oh crap.
Which guy? The guy from 30 Rock. Is that what? That's not William.
Oh no, you're talking about the cast. I'm talking about the losers.
No, I'm talking about the cast.
The losers.
No, the losers. You're talking about this. No,
the Expendables.
The non-watchables.
The guy from 30 Rock, he plays like the
He plays like the dork.
Right, the
you had it up there a few minutes ago, but he was perfect for that too.
Yeah.
It was almost the same character too, though, because he plays that sort of dumb, naive, goody two shoes, happy.
Right.
You know, tries to do the right thing.
Oh gosh darn!
Yeah, and he was great.
Jack McBrayer.
Yeah. And he's forgettable too, but he's perfect
for
the role.
Yeah.
And Sarah Silverman. I like Sarah
Silverman.
Oh, I love
Sarah
Silverman. I love her a lot. I think she's great. And she had a great voice. I could just see her making that voice for the little girl.
Going back to the lovable losers, I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman, William H. Macy, John C. Reilly, and Steve Buscemi. These four guys are not your Hollywood, good-looking, leading men kind of guys. But they were always given these weird fringe roles that they nailed, right? Mm-hmm. They're always the losers in movies, and these guys have made a wonderful career, all four of them.
Yeah.
So when John C. Reilly was the voice of Wreck-It Ralph, I was like, yeah, I love this movie.
Oh, yeah. I immediately liked it because my favorite role prior to this for him was when he did the Mr. Glass song in Chicago.
Okay.
So, and I'll always remember that because that movie I'll always remember because that was the one I took my wife to when proposed to her. So when I saw it come out.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, I saw Sandy Duncan at that one. So when I saw it come out on video, his role was one of the best in the entire film, I thought. He was perfect. He's a perfect loser.
Yeah, my favorite John C. Reilly movie was Magnolia. That was what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he plays a cop. And one of his lines is, I have so much love to give.
Is that right?
He's a lonely guy, and he wanted a girlfriend.
Over the years, I've thought about this. The fact that I took my wife to see Chicago,
right.
to on the night that we proposed, we went out to the city.
Okay,
that was a movie about women that shot their wives. I mean, women that shot their husbands.
That killed their husbands.
Yeah, the whole thing
that was called foreshadowing. Because in your third act, your parole's a little short. Now, to be fair, the other night I came over, your wife was watching that show about women who snap.
Yeah, I know.
She seemed to know every episode.
She likes that show a lot.
I think it's called My Alibi. When she...
I'm figuring out what they did wrong.
You did fill out the work life insurance thing.
Yeah,
right. No, but nostalgia. I mean, there's too many video games to quote, and we'll misquote a lot of them, but do you remember the first video game you played?
No, but I know one that I used to... Well,
the first system you had.
Oh, I didn't get them till late. Okay. I didn't get those till very late. I didn't get until, college, really.
Okay.
We were too poor to have video games in my house. My first one was like an NES.
All right. I had the Atari.
And I always wanted an Atari.
But here's the thing.
By the time that I was able to get an Atari, that was ancient. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I had an Atari, but my parents didn't understand you have to buy cartridges.
Wow. So you had like one game?
I had Combat, and I had Adventure, and that was it.
You had more than I did.
And then all my friends had 50 games or whatever.
No. Well, boo-hoo.
Well, I'm just saying, right?
I had a black and white TV.
I had cultural differences. Or maybe it was generational, but they didn't understand the concept of you have to buy more crack for the habit.
Yeah. Well, and plus those games, those early games were pretty limited, too.
Oh, they were fun. I remember playing Adventure. I guess it happens on first-person shooters, maybe, right? At least my recollection of the earlier ones.
Like the side-scrolling first-person shooter?
Or even some of the, what was it, Castle Wolfenstein. It was like a third, you saw it from the guy's eyes. It's not third-person, but it's...
Yeah, it was kind of like, I'm gonna screw it up now. The one you walked around, it was like when I was in college. Yeah. Not Doom.
It was Doom. Castle Wolfenstein, Doom both came out. It was PC.
It Doom? The one where you kind of walked around and you were shooting people.
But here's a weird thing about those two games, and even Adventure. Somewhere along the lines, you memorize muscle memory on how to navigate through, like, countless of boards and levels and all. And like, and
those always made me feel queasy. I never have liked first-person shooters.
But think about how many times you had to do, like, you know, think of like a lab rat running a court, right? That's what we are. We're trying to get the cheese.
That's what all these games
are. But it became so second. Like, you would just, like you know, whoever, when you were a kid, all the parents would be like, how do you do all this? It's memory.
Well, you were taking all of that potential talent that you could have used to learn an instrument or, learn how to play chess or something.
I did learn how to play chess.
Yeah, well, you didn't learn how to do it as well as you did that. You didn't put as much time as you did into video games, trust me.
I'm just saying it's remarkable. Like, I'm sure your son does this, too, on whatever game he plays.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm impressed because how many games did you actually finish? My son will finish games. And
I think I don't remember which one. It was either Wolfenstein or Doom, but I finished that early on.
I think the only one I can the first game I can remember completely finishing was Donkey Kong Country.
Okay.
On, I think it was the Nintendo 64. And that was because I found the cheat code to get unlimited lives, and there I made it through to the end.
I also finished Final Fantasy Tactics.
I
didn't do
close.
All the side stuff, but I did finish
it. I got close on it. I loved Final Fantasy Tactics, but, so, I mean, that's what was so great about seeing this, was that it was like, and it kind of made the games kind of work, you know, like they worked together, and you got to see different aspects of it, but it was a pretty decent movie. I don't know, I guess you could see why Brave won.
Yeah, overall it was more of a plot.
Yeah.
You know. More of a emotional whatever
connection
you want
to
call it.
To it, and it was interesting. So
just real quick on Brave, right? The princess, what was her name? Merida. Was voiced by Kelly MacDonald, who I absolutely love.
I don't know her.
She was the wife in No Country for Old Men.
Oh, really? The one with the guy that got killed in the end?
Yeah. So she played, I guess, a Texan or a Southern accent.
Yeah.
But for me, the biggest thing was Trainspotting. Okay. And she was...
Where's she from?
She's Scottish. This was her natural accent.
Wow.
And she's 30-something. I believe she's a mother. So she played a daughter, right? I mean, I knew who she was.
Yeah, well, look at Sarah Silverman. She's like in her 30s at least, right? She's in...
40s? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she's in her 30s.
Yeah, but she played a cutesier voice. That wasn't her natural voice. She cued it up.
Yeah, but right. But she played a young person. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. Right. You know?
But I'm saying Kelly MacDonald. That was her normal voice, Scottish.
Right.
And like I said, she was originally in Trainspotting, and I think she played a 16-year-old
in Trainspotting.
And then for me, I know she's done other stuff, but it goes from Trainspotting.
But she wasn't 16 in that either, was she?
In Trainspotting, she was probably 18. Just for
So she's not that okay.
She was young in that movie, right? So I'm saying, in my mind, her career goes from Trainspotting to No Country. I know that she's done stuff in the middle,
but now she's Brave.
She's a 16-year-old and Brave.
Well, yeah, she's gone backwards a little bit, huh?
But I love the Scottish accent. You know, it's
almost
musical, right?
Yeah, but you know, but I always think I don't know why, but when I hear Irish, and I guess I'm either of Irish or Welsh descent.
Right.
At least namesake wise.
Right.
I don't find Irish especially Irish, or Scottish to be highbrow. I always think it's English.
Highbrow.
You know what I mean? Like,
well,
it's fun, but you kind of see I hear the Scottish and I see blue faces and Derrieres, you know, is the first thing I think of when I hear
I guess to be clear, the language experts have said the thicker the accent, the lower class you are.
Right.
And that's true in all countries, right?
Even Adele's pretty far down in the class rank, huh?
But for us to...
Have you ever heard her accent? She's English, I think.
Well, that's what always bothered me was like all these.
Because when you hear her sing,
right.
How do they lose the accent? You know what I said? You know what I think? If I were her, I'd sing everything I ever said.
You speak singing.
I would speak singing if I were her.
It was like when I was a kid, I was like, how does Bono not sound Irish? But when he does an interview, you can't understand a word he says.
Yeah, I don't have to listen to it.
I guess
I don't even want to listen to what he says.
You know, but it's kind of like, I guess if you're singing. We're all the same people.
Well, Mel Tillis. You ever hear the guy named Mel Tillis?
No, I don't know who that is.
Well, he's like an old, I guess he's like a country, old country singer. But he'd stutter.
Okay.
But when he sang, he wouldn't stutter.
Right, there's something
there.
I mean,
there's something there that with the singing brings some out.
Part of your brain.
Look at Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
I can probably make out most of what he's saying when he sings.
Yeah. But when's the last time he sang, though?
He's still making stuff, man.
I don't know.
He's still singing.
I have a hard time listening to him from the 70s.
Well, 70s, yeah.
When he does All Aboard, I'm like, what do you say? All Aboard?
I don't know.
Ozzy has a problem with chemically altered brainwaves.
I don't even know what he's up to now. But.
Oh, you could tell me he's the smartest guy in the world, and you know.
I don't think he is. I wasn't trying to say that, but I'm just saying, you know, there is something different about the way people sound when they sing.
Right,
to your point.
The Scottish accent to me has always been melodic. I've always enjoyed it. And the more I can't understand, the better. Or maybe that's the Welsh part. I don't know.
No, you just like low class. That's what you tie the two together.
It's a little sing-songy. You know, if I had to fake an accent, I would want to.
Well, we're going
to
talk about the Scottish again today because we're going to talk about Downton Abbey Season 3.
Okay.
They go to Scotland. This is a tie-in.
But if I were to win a gold coin for something, I would want it to be for having a really good fake Scottish accent.
Okay.
Like, you know.
All right. I was thinking you might say I'm winning a gold coin for getting a new lung. That's what I thought you might go for. But all right.
I don't inhale, to quote Bill Clinton.
Yeah, right. That would have worked for him. So I think we said, well, you got anything else you want to say about either one of them?
No, I guess I just want to make sure people understand. I think they were both cute movies. Definitely worth a watch.
Well, here's one thing. I'll ask this one question. How does this stack up with all the animated movies you've ever seen? What would you say?
Well, I don't consider these animation. Oh, you mean American animation?
Yeah, I'm talking about the classic, you know, U.S.
You're talking about Pixar, Disney.
Pixar, all these things that we've done.
Here's the problem. I don't watch a lot of.
Have you watched any? What's the last good one you watched?
I don't even use the word good. Just what did I watch, right? I think the last one I watched was the Attack on Asian Kids, called Up. Oh,
I love that movie, but you didn't like it.
No, I liked the movie. So here's a problem I have with that movie was that we all have stereotypes. Asian kids are usually skinny and smart, and you picked the opposite. Some fat kid who was dumb, and you made him Asian. Yay, we got an Asian role model.
They could have made the kid white.
They could have made him skinny and smart and still had a good story.
No,
they made
the
him
idea
fat
was the
and
idea
dumb
was,
on purpose.
No, because
there was an attack on Asians.
No. I don't believe that at all.
I don't either. I'm just messing
okay.
with
you. No, but I mean, I actually showed it for the Cub Scouts when Kyle was in the Cub Scouts.
Were there any fat Asian kids?
No, it was like, no.
Because he was the
we,
one crying.
We didn't allow them in.
He was
I mean,
the one
come
crying
on,
just, in the corner.
No, I'm just
you didn't give him his badges either.
No, because I thought it was a good movie. You bring up, that's a good one. I thought that was a wonderful story.
Well, they killed off the wife right out of the gate.
But I always, I have to add that to my three movies now. There's three movies I call movies that have happy beginnings. Up, Bambi, and Finding Nemo.
Oh, no.
They all start off great.
Disney doesn't like mothers.
But okay, that does bring up a good point. Because what I thought was going to happen in a big one, I didn't know what was going to happen in Brave.
Right.
When the big bear came up, I thought, oh, okay, Dad's going to get killed, and there's going to be some sort of thing where she comes back and fights the bear later or something.
Right.
So I was actually relieved that Dad only lost his leg. I have to be honest with you. I really thought that. I'm glad you brought that up.
The mother dying, but the dad living's
bad. Well, no, I mean, either way, he's better off, isn't he?
Peggy.
No, but
so
my
wait,
thing is,
I do have a question though. Can we bring like some sort of pay-per-view bear versus bear type fight?
But you know,
Michael Vick dog fighting.
I did like that point when she came back and fought. When the mother bear comes back.
The maternal instinct.
I thought that was kind of a... That was a cool part of that movie. Because you could see that, you know, playing out with the mother, you know, taking on the big ugly bear and beating him.
But, I still want to see some, like, real bear on bear. I'll go watch the National Geographic.
I don't think I'd mess around with a
no,
a,
I'm saying I wanna,
mother against...
I want to watch it. I don't want to be there.
I think the grizzly father would go away with a mother that was defending her cubs, pretty much. I don't think you'd want to mess with her.
Well, I think that is one of the reasons why the bear population dwindles is that adults kill cubs.
You know, the other thing is Those three little red-headed kids.
They're cute.
Oh, my cute. They were disturbing for me for some reason. I don't know, man.
They're just pure evil.
They didn't dispel any of the myths about redheaded kids not having a soul. They didn't seem very nice. Or just because you put them in bear suits didn't do anything for me.
I don't know. They were comic relief.
They were funny.
They were.
I thought it was all pretty well played.
You can eat anything you want. Okay. Oh, wait a minute.
They all turned into bears. That was great.
They were cute, though.
It was good.
I guess the... What is there? Anything else we need to talk about?
Yeah. You got anything else on your list?
So go back to my point about, we dumb these movies down. If they made these two movies as real-life action or real-life people, not animated, but cast real people...
I'd hate them.
You hate them.
Yeah, immediately.
That's my point.
I agree with you. No, because I'd hate him for all the things that I've said 100 times. You know what I mean?
Well, the video game thing, they've made movies from video games.
Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the worst ones ever was Street Fighter, which incidentally...
I don't think I've ever seen Street Fighter.
Yeah, oh, it's got Jean-Claude Van Damme in it.
Oh, that's got to be a good movie.
Oh, it was horrid. And I love Street Fighter, too. It was one of my favorite, one of my favorite video games, of the worst.
A successful video game movie. I know,
They made Mortal Kombat, too, didn't they?
I think they made like 3 or 4 of those. I'm just saying, has there been
watch any of them.
A successful... what's that one with the zombies with Mila Jovovich?
They got like 20 of them. They got another one coming out.
Yeah, but Resurrect something?
Resident Evil.
Resident Evil.
Yeah. That's a game I finished, Resident Evil.
That's a game that scared the crap out of me.
I love that. Yeah, but you know,
the first time I played?
Yeah, they screwed it up later. They changed the dynamics in one of the versions.
Now, those have some serious, powerful female role models.
There you go.
Well, at least they're animated to be of such proportions. That yeah, the Resident Evil movies, they keep making those. And I love them.
They've got a cult following. Part of it is that whole zombie.
But I don't think it's about the... It's no longer the video game. No, it's all about the zombies.
And there's a group of people out there that'll watch anything that has a zombie in it.
You think that you can watch like a zombie cooking show?
Oh, that brings up the other thing. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off with your zombie cooking show thing. But when you talked about that, remember the zombie in the movie? There's two things here.
Yeah.
The zombie got his heart pulled out by Kano.
Yeah.
That was his finishing move.
Finishing.
But the thing that was bad about that, or they made him American. They made Kano American. He was always Australian in the
Mortal Kombat.
In the Mortal Kombat stuff. And the other thing is Zangief, which I knew very well, he was not evil. And he wasn't really an evil character.
Okay.
He was just Russian. I guess that makes you evil.
Oh, it does
But the only time I think he was ever evil was in that crappy movie. So he wasn't evil in the storyline of Street Fighter.
Okay.
So that was sort of a...
I did like how they had a support group. Everybody has a support group now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's what this podcast is.
Yeah. So Clyde was there of Pac-Man fame. And he got scared at one point. But, so why don't we take a break? And I think when we come back from break, we have a very special guest that will play.
An expert
on both of these movies.
Right.
After that, we'll go into Downton Abbey and our week ahead and the week behind.
Okay.
Okay, in this part of the show, I think what we decided to do is take it to the streets, as it were. In fact, we didn't really want to go too far, so we took it to my street and my residence, in fact, to get some firsthand knowledge of this particular genre from somebody that I think probably is an expert in kids' movies over the years. Why don't you tell them who you are there?
Hello, I'm Kyle Hughes.
Oh, okay. So which movies did you see here?
Both Wreck-It Ralph and Brave.
And which one did you like better?
Brave, I felt, was a lot better than Wreck-It Ralph.
What did you think was better about it?
Mostly the storyline in it. It was very cute. It was very cute, especially the triplets. They were extremely cute.
Yes. What did you know where those guys were from? Did you know where?
Yes, they were from, like, Scotland.
Very
Ireland.
Good. It was Scotland. You were right. Oh. Yeah, when you see the bagpipes, you always know that that's Scotland. So what part of it did you like the best in Brave?
Maybe the part where the mom fights the evil bear.
Right. And she protects her
daughter.
Her daughter. I have to say I kind of like that part of that movie too. What did you think about Wreck-It Ralph?
It was really good. I mean, I like the fact that it was mostly about video games.
Okay. And did you recognize very many of the video games?
Few of them, yes. Few of them, no. Like, Cuba, I never heard of before.
Right. Now, that wasn't around for that long. What games were in there that you saw?
Pac-Man, Sonic, Mario was obviously in there.
We never really got to see him, but we got to see who was there. Bowser was there. Yeah.
There was a Cuber. Did I already say Pac-Man?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
There was Mortal Kombat.
Oh yes.
I think Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter.
Both were in there. In fact. Yep. Yeah, those were both games that really were kind of before your time a little bit too, although they're still around. But what games was in the game in the movie itself? Was it about? Did you pick up on? You told me about those before. You knew all three of them.
You mean the ones that
about?
Aren't real?
Yeah, yeah.
There were Fix-It Felix Jr., Sugar Rush, and Heroes Duty, which takes off Time Crisis 3.
Yeah, you were telling me. I didn't even necessarily know that, but you saw that recently.
Yes, I've played it recently, Times Crisis 3.
Okay, yeah. So those were your... So was there anything you didn't like about these two movies?
No, not really.
No, not really. Okay, good. Now, I know we saw it recently. Did your friends like the movie? Because I think I think you guys watched it twice.
My friends did like the movie. Uh-huh. It's just that they got annoyed when we were watching it the second time.
I see.
Because
I think you were all tired at that point, right? So that's very good. Anything else you'd like to say about these movies?
No, not really.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much for coming out and talking with us today. We appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks.
Kyle Hughes, future podcaster.
I think he should be a present podcaster. What do you think?
I think he's a natural.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to figure out some more movies that he can watch.
Yeah,
something R-rated, maybe some blood violence. You know,
Well, yeah, he's 13, so he can watch a couple. We watched when I take the kids to on the Boy Scout trips. I have the movie player in the car, so we usually watch movies in the car, and they watched Wreck-It Ralph on the way there and the way back.
Oh,
so.
Cool.
So,
who's driving, little kid, and you were watching a movie?
Yeah, well, you know, I got one eye on it, you know, of course, but no, so it's good. So I figured it'd be something that he could, and you know, one of the things is he knew. I couldn't remember.
Yeah,
Sugar
he knew
Rush.
All the.
I couldn't remember all three of the things that were fake, and
yeah.
Not only that, he was the thing when he was talking about the Contra thing.
Yeah.
When he was at we were at the ski lodge, they saw it at the theater. I mean, at the ski lodge itself.
The actual game.
They saw Contra. He said,
the actual like brick and mortar arcade game.
Yeah.
It's still.
He said, "Yeah, I saw Contra. While I was at the
no desire to play it though.
I don't know. He came in. He's definitely. Came at me twice for money to go to the arcade, so he played some of them. I don't know. I don't think Fix-It Felix was there, but you know, he played something.
So you know why he remembers all these little details and you and I don't?
He doesn't have as much alcohol and cigarettes coursing through his veins to block out all this.
Because the majority of our brains are filled with lifetime's disappointments. Don't worry, Kyle. You'll have some of your own.
Yeah, don't worry. Yeah. It's not all gold medals at the end of the round.
Yeah. I think as a kid, you just remember everything.
I'm always impressed about the stuff that he remembers.
I think if you remember back, as a kid, remembered everything.
Yeah.
I, as a middle-aged man, remember nothing.
You block out the 70s. We already talked about that last week.
No, but I used to remember all the details. But I think there's something about being a kid where you memorize.
Yeah, your brain's younger.
Without
you absorb stuff.
Trying to, right? Yeah. Like if you and I had to flee Iran and memorize a new alternate life.
I thought that was the freakiest thing I ever heard.
We'd be dead.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
My name's Fixer Ral. Oh, no.
I agree with you. So I think we should give these ratings. What are our ratings on these two things? And we have to keep it in the vein of,
what it is.
What it is. Yeah. These are kids' movies.
I enjoyed both. So.
I did, too. They were good. I think they both deserved to be nominated for the animated. One of the things is the movie, I don't think he said it here, but he had told me.
Right.
One of the other ones that he saw that he really liked that I think was also nominated was
Frankenweenie?
No, Hotel Transylvania.
Wasn't there a Frankenweenie?
There was a Frank. I don't think he saw that one. Okay. I don't think we've seen that one. But a Hotel Transylvania, he liked that one.
Am I thinking of the porn movie?
You could be. Yes. Frank and his weenie. I think is what Drew said.
This is a little disturbing.
Yeah, exactly. But you took it there. Remember that.
All right.
So, anyway, so what are you going to rate this?
Like I said, I enjoyed both, and this may not jive with my other ratings, but I'll give them both 3.75s.
You're giving them both 3.75s?
Yeah, they're fun movies. I mean, they are what they are, right? You sit down, you watch, you have a good time.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give them, I'm going to be different, and I'm going to give them both 3.5s.
Okay.
Because I think they were equally good in different ways.
Yeah.
I
don't watch a lot of animation, so I can't tell you there's better things or worse things.
Well, like I said, Up, I think, was one of the best movies that I think I've seen in a while.
Right.
I also think Finding Nemo was one of the best movies.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Yeah,
I saw it,
great.
But I don't remember.
That was a great movie, I thought. Yeah, but I think they're both solid plays. They're good for kids. And
yeah,
there's nothing bad.
I mean, I'm glad I watched them. I'm not going to probably rewatch them.
No, I've had to rewatch them. I don't know that Kyle will want to see them again. But
right.
if you have kids, a lot of these movies, they have a little bit of stuff in there for you because you usually have to see them 1,500 times.
All right.
There was always a. I read a complaint with one of the reviews. Roger Ebert, his complaint to Wreck-It Ralph was that when you got to the big car scene, that was he criticized the formulaic aspect of it. That's when all the kids have had all their sugar and stuff, and it's time to turn everything, amp everything up. And, he's probably right. I mean, what you don't realize is somebody's in a room somewhere figuring out. This is how long
mark.
The kids are in here. They've eaten all of their cookies
and their
crackers.
Here's a pee break.
Yeah, and now's the time we amp it all up, and so they all spin around in their chairs for a little bit.
Now, when's the last time Roger Ebert actually went to a theater?
I don't know, but he's getting the screeners or something. I don't know, but I'm just saying he's been around long enough to know, the formulaic type stuff. And
I want a sound effect every time you say formulaic.
There's an element of it. I think there's only so many stories that can be told, and we tell them over and over. So anyway, let's get to our cigar ratings.
I'm having a hard time because the way this thing's been advertised, and I guess I don't know whose fault that is, but it's not a Padron. Let's just get that out of the way. But
it's not awful. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying.
It's decent. I think it's a decent cigar.
When you set the bar that high, if you have a good cigar, it almost feels like it's a bad cigar because it's not a Padron.
Yeah, you can't. You got to be careful about your comparisons.
Right.
And the problem with Padron is, as you've mentioned already, it's a big, wide space, right?
Well, I think they were also comparing it to probably their baseline. Mm-hmm. Would be fair.
Right.
It's been growing on me. I mean, there's something there. I'm gonna put it this way. If you told me, would you buy this cigar again, I probably would say yes.
Right.
Would I buy a box? No. And the boxes are cheap, by the way. I think you get one for like $50 to $60.
Okay.
So there's other stuff that you and I both agree that we like.
I think that's the one we had last week, but I will make a caveat with my rating, et cetera, this week.
Yeah.
I want to go back and taste this one again. I'm a little congested because of the ski trip I just had, and I allergic reaction to something. So I'm not, I may not be getting the full flavor.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's got hints of cocoa to it. There's something that I can't put my finger on. I would definitely class it medium in terms of body. I'm not getting any nicotine off of this, so it's probably like a more of a light cigar. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, my profile's heavy flavor, heavy nicotine.
Right.
But it's not, it's pleasant. It's not unpleasant. I don't want to say it's unpleasant, you know, because negatives, right? I got a 5-pack, so I look forward to smoking these on the golf course or whatever.
Yeah, you got to bring one out for me sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
This is, I don't think I'm giving it.
But I'm struggling with the rating because I don't know how to really rate this one. I'm probably giving it a 3.
Oh, you're giving it a 3?
Yeah. I mean, it's not my flavor profile. That's one
knock. Yeah.
And right. That's not fair because people, I hate reading reviews where people are like, I don't like Connecticut's. I had this Connecticut and I give it a 0.
Well, we're not doing that. What we're saying. I think we both like Maduros. We both tend to like habaneros or
habanos. Or you can have an habanero clear.
The Lajero was good too.
Oh yeah, Lajero means strength.
So yeah, I'll always try one of those. So we've had some. So that's probably the stuff that I think we both like.
Right.
We seem to like the same stuff when it comes to cigars.
Like, you remember the Florida Antilles, the cigar of the year?
Yes,
I thought that was better than this.
Okay, I
because they're both
can't
Maduro.
Quite remember. Right. You know, but. So, and I'm like I said, I'm not giving it the complete fair shake tonight. That's why I want to try it again. I'll probably, because of that, I'm going to give it a 3.25.
Okay.
All right. So, but I'm not getting all the notes because the same thing is going to be true with the beer.
It's a good cigar. It's not a great cigar.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is fine for three. Part of what we used to do is we used to say, how is this cigar for the price point?
Right.
And one thing I'll say is, it stayed lit pretty well. Had a great draw.
Great draw.
The draw was perfect. So I mean, I got to give it credit. I didn't see any cracking of like the.
Yeah, this didn't look like a traditional Maduro, right? It wasn't running weird.
This was box pressed too, right? You know. So, but my first thing was, after pipes, you get used to like a easier draw,
right?
And sometimes a cigar can feel a little weird to you.
Plugged, yeah.
This was perfect. I was like, wow, this is easy. But so I'll give it a 3.25.
Okay.
So what are you going to say about the beer?
I think the one we had a couple of weeks ago was advertised like a dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that should be the bar, but that's what I could compare it to.
Well, so let's be straight. You're the type of guy that will have a beer once in a while. But you're
I think once we started the podcast, last couple of weeks I was having one beer a night.
There you go. Well, that's how it always starts.
Which you know, had to be a fruit shandy.
Yeah, well, it's whatever you like. You don't have to be just because you're drinking a girly beer doesn't make you girly.
You know, it's I fruit the beer.
That's right. Well, I have a friend who you saw. He says fruit cannot be in the beer. I don't agree with that.
He took away my man card.
Well, I don't.
You like for other reasons.
I was going to say I think that was confiscated long before then. But all right.
But it's pretty good. I mean, it's chocolatey.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm having a tough time. Like I can't. I don't think I'm.
It's not as chocolatey as the other one. The other one was like, I don't want to say it was borderline sickening, but you didn't have to guess.
It was like
it was ramped up.
Yeah, it was almost like somebody poured some Nesquik in
there
or something.
It almost tasted like
it was like it was
syrup.
Creamy.
Yeah, creamy.
It was a creamy.
I don't think there's any creaminess to this.
No, but I do know one. And I almost picked it up, and I'm gonna wait a couple months, and I'll bring this one in because I know you'll like this one because that one is similar to the other one we had. You know, so stylistically, it's definitely in the same ballpark. So, what are you rating this one?
I'd probably give it like a 3.25.
All right, so I'm giving this one a 3.5, and I'm gonna come back to this one. I mean, part of the thing is this is a pretty pricey beer to kind of go out and get, and for that I expect a lot.
Well, you said it was like $12.
I think it was like $12.
Was it worth $12 to you?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm giving it a fair shake because I don't feel like I'm a little congested, so I don't know if I've gotten the full flavor profile of it.
All
right, you know, that kind of plays into everything. Yeah, go back to some things. This is what I'm going to start to go back to. Unfortunately, I probably will. So, all right. So let's go to the week ahead, week behind segment.
Okay.
So, well, actually, I think no, we don't have to do that. We'll talk about Downton Abbey first.
Yeah, what are we doing? Season three?
Season
it's been
three.
A couple of weeks since I've seen the whole thing, so
I just finished it up last week, and I finished it.
So I know we always say spoiler alert, or we haven't been saying it, but we always talk about the actual.
Everything we talk about is very much so. I mean, I'm assuming anybody we've said that all along. You know, you don't come here to figure out if you want to go see it.
You come here after you've seen it
to see what we thought about it and see if you agree.
So for those who want to jump off, we're going straight to the finale.
Yeah, the finale.
Where the zombies? Oh no, yeah, that's no, not yeah. That.
So Matthew bites it in the end here.
Matthew Crawley sees the birth of his boy, which is now the heir. His wife is fine. He's all happified, driving, not paying attention to the road.
Yeah.
And he's dead.
Yeah.
He gets into an accident, he drives off the road. And for a split second there, I thought maybe they would bring him back and this was just a cliffhanger.
I thought so, too.
But you did see the blood. He saw his eyes wide open.
Yeah, that didn't look like... I mean, I was like...
That's pretty rough.
That looked pretty bad.
Right.
You usually don't have your eyes open with the... You know, that's not usually a good pose.
All right. So I guess the next day I stumbled across... The reason why they killed him off was I guess his contract was up and he chose not to renew it because he wanted to capitalize on his success as an actor.
Yeah.
And do all this. And you can't blame the guy.
I can't blame the guy.
I wish he stayed. Right. Let's say that. You wish he stayed too.
So given that, would you like them to have recast the guy? This is the question. Should you?
So back in the day, they used to recast people mostly because of contract issues. Right, Three's Company, right, Suzanne Summers got booted off and they brought somebody else in. So I don't even know who the other person is. So at least typically in America, fans...
Terry something.
Yeah, I don't know. Most Americans hate the replacement actress or actor. And it's always been a rough pill to swallow. And it's been done. Obviously the ones with deaths, right? There are Sopranos, Olivia Soprano died and they CGI'd her face a couple of scenes afterwards.
Well, then they also replayed some
colder
scenes
clips.
I
remember Night Court lost two people in one season. I was a kid, so I don't remember who it was.
I don't remember that.
It was an older lady and somebody else. I mean, so when they die, I think everybody understands that the actor died.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do. And I think typically, they could get away with it. But if it's just like they left because of the contract or whatever... most of the time, the audience...
They did it with the Matrix, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, the Oracle.
Oracle
yeah.
was new. And they wrote the explanation into
right.
the story.
I look different to you.
Yeah.
Because I smoke too many...
Yeah, exactly.
But typically, we hate when they get recasted. And I don't think... I mean, again, two Darrens back in the day with Bewitched.
Oh, you know. Right.
I think we've evolved both as viewers and the studios where they're not going to recast the guy.
Right.
So, I mean, I wish he stuck around just because I liked the show.
But didn't it kill the story?
Well, I think the article I read said that they're going to focus on Mary, her grief, and then I guess they got to do something for her.
Oh, my God. Am I going to have to sit here and watch her? Oh, God. Seriously.
Oh, what else is she going to do?
So we got two babies.
Two babies.
And wait, now they can make the love affair between the chauffeur
Branson
and Mary?
Branson and Mary?
What do you think? Speculate.
I think they're going to have to hire some nannies. That's what I think they're going to do.
No, we got all these dead people and babies. I mean, seriously, that's what we got.
That's a new movie.
I mean, it's dead people and babies now.
That's life in a nutshell. Dead people and babies.
I don't know. I just that kind of hurts the series, in my opinion. So let's backtrack a step. So we talked about the ending there.
All right. So what did you think of...
The thing I hated.
Here we go.
Here's one of the classic soap opera moments.
Yes.
Forget about the other part.
All right.
Edith getting stood up at the altar.
But that fits in with how pathetic she is.
I don't care.
She's cursed.
I hate that convention.
She should do a spell on her mother. Oh, wait.
Exactly.
I was kind of laughing when she got left at the... I'm like, what? You know what? They can give her, like, the pox.
I don't care that she's not likable.
I just like the fact that they take it out on her.
You know what will be great that'll just kind of seal the deal for me?
Yeah.
They'll bring back Canadian guy next year.
And make him uglier.
And he'll marry Mary or something. Or maybe he'll marry Edith.
I think,
and then she'll be the one to take over the house.
I think Edith should get the pox and survive that. Let's see, what else can we do to this poor girl?
Oh, polio was going on back then. Let's give him. Let's have her a bout of polio.
Give her a bout of polio. Maybe we go Mulholland Drive and give her some lesbianism.
Well, that would work, right? I don't know. I don't know where the season goes. I don't know where they go from here.
To me, Edith is a running joke of what can we do to this poor girl? And by the way, we still hate her because she's despicable.
And here's the other thing. You've talked about this. All right. They brought in the young chick.
Cousin Oliver. Yeah. Just like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. They got to bring in the young girl.
I actually thought she was pretty cute.
Well, that's pretty annoying. The whole point.
She was pretty annoying.
That's the whole point.
But you will have to say she's on Ritalin or something. Right?
Well,
she's,
I think she...
She is the girl from Brave.
A little bit, yep. She is.
I just want a thicker Scottish accent and more red hair.
So she's the girl from Brave. And then on top of it, I think she really epitomizes what's going to be like the flapper era.
The 20s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're going into the 20s now.
Right.
This is the flapper type. She's got the style of the flapper.
Yeah, she was in the club dancing.
Yeah, she was, you know, she's changing the style. And so you can see where they're heading with it. And that's, you know, from a time perspective, that's accurate. And it makes sense to bring in that character.
Right.
But, you know, I think you've lost so much in the story by losing Matthew and Mary.
Well, we'll see what
that
the
That was
writers...
the love story that was the backbone of the entire, you know, arc. You know, now what do you have?
You got Edith.
You got Edith and...
Let's give her some more.
And Burnt Face.
Burnt Face.
I mean, you know, that's where we're headed.
The real stars of the show is Anna. Because she learned how to do the Scottish dance.
Oh, gosh.
How was that a gift with the other two people?
Look what I can do, but not with you.
Because you can't,
because
Mr.
You
Hobbler.
Can't dance. Come on. Come on, peg leg. What'd you do, fight the bear? Come on, let's go.
Ah, you should have gave him like a peg leg.
See, he should have been able to fight a bear at some point.
Come on, Mr. Bates.
Yeah, come on, Mr. Bates.
I don't know. I still enjoyed the show. I don't know what they're going to do. Obviously, I watched all three seasons pretty much back-to-back.
Yeah, I watched them pretty much together. Been going back and forth to people that's been doing the same thing. Outside of you, there's been some other people that have been watching and stuff. Been getting text messages. What do you think is going to happen here? And then one person asked me, you know, do I know what's going to happen in the next season? Or I think, and that's before you told me this tonight, so now I can go back and report, you know.
Tell him that he's coming back. Tell him he's coming back.
Over. Yeah, tell him he's coming back. It's going to be a big happy ending in season 3-4.
Yeah, we'll see what they do. I mean, I think
we're going to be all in. And that, now I can kind of see what my sister was saying. So she was saying that they fundamentally changed the story.
Yeah, no, this was a
blow to this story that we'll see what they got to come up with. They got some time to write. I hope they came up with something good. And it better not be Canadian guy.
You really hate Canadian guy.
I hate Canadian guy. They better not bring back... Yeah, see who else. Don't bring back One Arm. I don't want to see One Arm or Canadian Guy. Yeah,
I want Pamuk back.
Pamuk.
I want a side series called Pamuk Nights, like Boogie Nights, Pamuk Night, because he was getting down.
Yeah, see what's going on in his life up until the time you met Mary.
Like every castle you stayed at.
You know what somebody said to me? This came from somebody was it was funny coming from this person said, Mary's hoo ha is death. That's what they told me.
Maybe it is.
I mean, like, because
I'll volunteer to see if the theory is true.
I am not taking that chance. I'm not.
She is a little bony and pasty, though.
Instant death coming. They got their heir now.
All right. So since we've been flirting with the topic, which female character would you like to have relations with?
Oh my god.
And the Countess Dowager is on the table.
None of them. I'm off the table.
Now, not even Sybil?
Sybil, but see, that's why I think they got to bring in the new person, because
so they both
Sybil,
have love interest then, right? They both can have love interest. Branson and Mary can
Oh, that's
have
what I need to see.
Competing love interests.
Oh, that's what I need.
Bring the
to
newspaper
see.
Guy back.
That's what I'm saying. I should leave him off the table too. They leave that guy off.
the newspaper. I thought he did. I thought he played a really good.
I don't
part.
Even remember how they got him out, so he didn't rat her out. I mean,
I guess that was his exit. Like, I'm pissed off. I'm angry, but I'll be a proper English gentleman.
Is that what he said?
No, he didn't say anything. He said he was going to ruin her, but he just chose not to do it.
Because is he going to come back at some point?
Oh, really? Maybe. See, but it's been a while, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, they didn't. I didn't think there was ever any resolution.
I just
to
took
that,
it that
right?
that he felt obviously betrayed, but he just.
But
decided.
That was season two, really.
I'm trying to think back now, but I think
yeah,
nothing
that was season
happened.
Two
that's why
were...
I think it's been some time, right?
Yeah.
So nothing's happened. So he just kept his mouth shut.
That's what I'm saying. It's like one of those Soprano episodes where. You know, they buried the guy in they had to kill somebody in the New Jersey swamps, and they never came back to it. Like, there was never a resolution to what happened.
Bodies happen in New Jersey.
Well, I know, but there was a bunch of things, like, they never tied up.
Yeah, I just assumed that he kept his mouth shut.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the proper thing to do.
They left it open-ended. I'm fearful of the future storyline.
Well... As long as it has,
I almost feel like it's run its course.
Either zombies, cowboys, or aliens.
I'll give it credit, though. It hung in for three seasons.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess to be fair, the British actors have probably a really good idea how popular this is.
Yeah.
Right. Because I was going to say maybe in the beginning, but by now, I think, you know.
Well, don't they run the same risk? Because these guys, I'm assuming... outside of, like, Maggie Smith,
right.
All of them are pretty much no names. Don't they run the risk of any of them jumping at this point?
I don't know what the contract structures are. I mean, I know American TV, when you do a pilot, I think it's for 7 years.
Yeah.
Even though they don't renew it, or right? They're still under contract.
But there's got to be, like, a market out there for pasty white Englishmen somewhere, right?
That's what you're into? Yes.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean, you know.
Well, who are we talking about being pasty?
Just about all of them. I mean, like, come on.
I think Mary's the only one who's pasty. I think everybody else
Edith
seems...
is, too.
Well, Edith has the plague. Edith is the plague, you know.
No, just saying.
I think everybody else seems rather normal looking. I think Edith is... we're going to find out this year that Edith is having Satan's baby.
She does seem like she might be.
Poor Edith.
Oh, she's got the love interest of the guy. To make things worse, she's got a love interest now.
Right.
That
the newspaper husband, editor. Newspaper
editor.
Who's married to an insane woman.
Or something, yeah.
Insane.
So now she's got the, I mean, just to add insult to injury, she's got the love that she can never have.
Well, they can have, like, affairs. They're just not going to get married. But
that's
someone will be upset with, well.
That's a scandal.
Pramukh was the scandal.
Oh, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We're getting to second tier scandals now.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
We'll see what happens.
So, I guess the other thing is you could just always, you know, they could always, besides the young niece, how many more new characters are? Because there was always like a couple of new characters added.
They added some characters, like the one that hit on Branson, the blonde housemaid.
Right.
Remember
yeah.
that she
they got rid of her
Branson, and she got her walking paper. She had a small story arc. That's what I call time filler. Let's put some time in here so we can, you know, keep the story running for that. But it's kind of like the same story. You know, how many times are they going to pull that stunt? That's been done twice now.
Oh, I guess to go the other way, wouldn't there be more success back in the day of fooling around with your maid servants and.
Well, I mean, almost. Old Man Crawley, was it Crawley? No.
Grantham.
Grantham, yeah. He almost got caught up in one of those.
Well, I think
she got
her
walking
kissed
paper
her,
too.
Right?
Yeah, and it was going to go somewhere, but she got excommunicated.
Yeah, but
out.
In real life, don't you think that there were actual affairs?
Oh, I agree. I mean, right. But is that what this is? I guess this is where it's headed.
The Countess Dowager is going to get some.
Wow. Well, they almost had old Lady Crawley getting some with the doc.
I give the doc some credit. He was like, you know, I'm moving up stature and get some dollars.
And
I can,
like,
finally tell a woman what to do. No,
I wonder what happens to her now.
Who? Oh, yeah, the mother.
What's going to happen to her?
Send her back to France. I didn't like her. I never liked her. She was
I liked her in the beginning because I didn't like Grantham. Dowager, or whatever.
Right.
Countess
but then she became like a do-gooding, nosy body.
Yeah, they kind of morphed her into, you know, the extreme of what she was. Right. You know, too much do-gooding, but...
All I care about is Daisy. I hope she's all right.
Oh, God. We got more story with her, too. Some of these characters are making me groan. We need more deaths. We need more car trips.
Isn't there a polio outbreak? Spanish.
And then what was his name? Thomas and James.
All right.
Where Thomas and James are now buddies, and now Thomas is not a bad guy.
Oh, he was misunderstood.
He was more than misunderstood. He was evil for a while.
He called the cops. Hey, what about the cricket match? Isn't one of you go out and want to play some cricket?
I think I discussed that with somebody. I don't understand that game. That's the game that goes on for like 3 days.
7 days, yeah.
I think 5 days in international play.
Yeah. This is what happens before cable TV.
It's like ESPN De Ocho.
De Ocho.
Remember that from that? I don't remember the movie. I think, that was Dodgeball. ESPN yeah. De Ocho. That's what that is. Anyway.
I'll do Dodgeball.
Yeah.
In Downton Abbey.
So let's go to the week ahead and week behind. What did you do this past week?
I watched two movies. I watched Incredibly Loud and Extremely Close.
Oh, you did get that one. Okay.
Yeah, I got over my 9/11 issues and I decided to watch that one.
Now, we may review that. I don't know if you want to go into too much detail. Or you're not thinking we're going to review that?
Oh, one. We can. I mean, I think the original thought was we were going to pair last year's Oscars.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, you know, all yeah. I'll say is that it was better than what I expected.
It's Tom Hanks in it, so he's
always...
But
he's not... He's not...
He's
the guy who dies.
Well, I know, but I thought the whole story was discovering his father through something.
So the kid's the main character.
He's the main focus.
But the mother...
He's not the... I see dead people, kid. I always think that's who he is. Maybe it's because of the story.
He's probably 30 by now.
I know that. I'm just saying it kind of makes me feel that way about
it. Actually,
movie.
It turned out the ending turned out a lot more. You didn't see it, so I'm not going to talk about the ending.
Oh, yeah. No spoilers now because well, I haven't seen that one.
You should watch it.
Yeah, okay. No, I've got it. It's on my list to watch.
And then the other movie I watched.
Oh, no.
Was the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part
2.
Just to wrap up the whole series, if you will.
Was Kristen Stewart all bruised in it?
Well, she's a vampire now, so she's the hot Kristen Stewart, not the...
You just ruined the story for me. I don't know this.
You knew this going into part one.
I didn't watch any of them.
Well, you don't care about this movie. You're not going to watch any of this.
I might now.
So that's all I said. She's the whole goal of all five movies was she was going to be a vampire. She's a vampire. Get over it.
Oh, God.
But she does look... pretty good, because before she was mortal and she was the one that showed up to the Oscars with the bruise.
She doesn't bruise anymore.
The one that kept fidgeting with her hair, you know.
I have a problem with her, man.
So I will say this, that they wrapped up the series pretty well, because, you know, it's one of those things of how do you wrap up
anything.
Was
there a lot of shirtless scenes with guys in there?
Taylor Lautner, is that?
I don't know his name, but you go right ahead. Who's your favorite hunk in there? Come on, tell us, Quan. I want to hear. Which one did you like? Are you a werewolf or are you a vampire? Come on, let's hear it.
I'm a zombie hunter.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think we said this in the past. They did polls where women love vampires because it's romantic, and men love zombies because it's about like the end of the world and surviving. Oof. Now I don't know where werewolves fit into all this, but.
Well, I think they ruined it somewhere. There was a movie I saw that. Sci-fi shouldn't be
Sci-fi Network.
No, sci-fi should not be destroyed in the way that these movies have destroyed sci-fi for me.
But I think they wrapped. I think the only thing I will say about the Twilight series is it's all about teenage angst.
Yeah.
So if you're a teenager, you know, this is your comfort zone. If you're not, if you can remember your teenage angst, then you can. It's watchable. But I like the way they ended it because I thought it would be impossible to end. Or, you know, not that I have a dog in the fight, but I was very curious to see how they ended it, and I thought they ended it pretty well.
I'm glad you liked it.
And I think I watched it twice. I won't admit to it, but I think I watched it twice.
Okay, good.
Because I was too lazy to change discs. And it was just on, so okay. I just let it play again.
I'm not going to ask about what state you were in during it, but all right.
So last thing I did yesterday was I went to the New York City Pipe Show.
Right.
Which is in Newark, New Jersey, as opposed to Newark, Delaware.
Yeah.
I've never been to a, a pipe show before.
Right.
I had no idea what to expect. I had a pretty good time. I mean, I walked away with two pretty good pipes, one reasonably priced, one a little bit expensive. 9 tobacco samples.
Ooh, very nice.
4 free tins. And one tin that I bought that I can't get in this country.
Right. So that's the one you were going to send me to go buy.
Right. So now you got to go buy more. No, I'm just kidding.
I change your list.
So it was a hotel called like the Western or the Westin.
Westin, yeah.
Which is a big chain, high-end type thing.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find, my GPS couldn't find it. My notes, maps didn't tell it. So I pulled over and I called the number on the flyer, and it was called the Westin Gardens. And I've driven by that place 3 times.
Wow.
Because I couldn't believe that this was the place.
That can't be it. The shady little spot.
Yeah, it was a small little, looked like more like a motel. But I walked in, and the insides were actually nice. It was hard to find parking.
It used to be the old Ramada or something.
Yeah, the new Ramada next to the airport's huge. It's like multi-level. This one's like 3 stories high.
Okay.
And I walked into, the lobby's really nice. So that's actually, inside's nice. It's in the weird part of, Newark's weird. Well, so it's in a weird part, right?
I don't like that part of Jersey at all, so.
So I walked into the conference room, $5 to get in, which I didn't know about, but I got free tobacco, which offsets it. 6 online retailers were there. A lot of guys selling estate pipes, which are used pipes, various states of cleanliness. A lot of big old guys, facial hair. Now, to be fair, the big show's in Chicago. I think you're allowed to smoke in that one. You're not allowed to smoke here. It was a good time. It was a little chaotic. I didn't know what I was doing exactly. But I walked around, about 30, 35 vendors. There's a guy who did pipe supplies. You can buy the block of briar. He has a stem already drilled into it, so you could carve it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot of business cards. I got a lot of websites. Savinelli was there, which was weird because they don't have a direct distribution to America. So they had like 70 pipes, which is a lot. They're all gorgeous. And they said, if you want to buy one, you got to go over there to the other table because Smoking Pipes has got the distribution rights.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought that was a little odd. I mean, it's great they were there.
It's kind of cool that they're promoting.
Yeah.
Even though they're sending it to their distribution point.
Yeah, but the whole point, I guess, for me was to actually look at the pipes, pick them up, put them in my hands, feel them.
Right.
If they weren't looking, I would put them in my mouth. No, I didn't put them in my mouth. Pipes and Cigars had their...
You just licked them.
I just licked them. Pipesandcigars.com had their master blender, Russ Ayulet.
Uh-huh.
And he's blended about 35 to 40 blends, I guess, commercially. So they brought all their blends down. So that was the cool part. They had like 35 tins open. And they were giving out, like sandwich baggies.
Mm-hmm.
Probably half an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
And, I got to talk to him. He seemed like a pretty nice guy. He seemed like he's been doing this for a while, but social interaction wasn't exactly his forte. He wasn't rude. He wasn't weird. You could tell, like, people come up to him like, you're a rock star, and he doesn't know how to react.
Right.
But he was very, I talked to him for a while. He was very polite, and he told me a couple of things that I enjoyed. But
So at the end of the day, would you go back?
I think I would go back next year, knowing what it is. So,
mm-hmm.
like, if you tell me what's my strategy for next year. So the odd part for me was there was a lot of high-end pipes, right? To me, anything about $100 is pretty much high-end, but there was like $250, $350, $500 pipes. And then there was a lot of estate pipes. Let's say they were like $15 to $30, but there were various degrees of repair needed TLC. But there wasn't a lot of what I thought would be like the $50 to $75 range.
Right.
But I would definitely go back to see what's going on. The free samples, talk to some of the pipe makers.
Hey, you brought me something back there. So I was happy about that.
Yeah, one of the things I was trying to get into, side hobby, was how do you get into carving pipes?
Right.
The easy answer is you just start carving.
But yeah.
there's been, I guess, internet sightings. Like, people have one-day seminars. They have one-day workshops. Kind of like if you went to woodcraft and you took a one-day thing on how to carve pens. Right. So I got some information on that. There's a guy in Ohio who does a one-day seminar. A guy I talked to at the pipe supply place said, write him an email. He could give me a list.
Okay.
So I might get into that. I might not, But, yeah, there was a couple of carvers, American carvers, there selling their own wares. Full disclosure, it is a sausage fest of old guys with facial hair. But I felt like I fit in. I didn't shave.
Oh, you didn't shave for the event.
Okay. No, but I enjoyed it, and I think I would definitely go back to see. You sort of have to have a plan. I didn't have any plan because it was the first time going.
Did you bring up that you watched Breaking Dawn 2 while you were there?
No, I mentioned all the YouTube pipe videos I watched.
Oh, okay. Maybe you want to stay away from that.
They accepted me into their club.
So, for me, I don't really... this week was a crazy week, but my big thing is tomorrow I leave for Europe.
You're deported.
We could only hope. But I'm going to Mecca to some extent. I'm going to...
You're Muslim.
No.
Oh.
I'm going to be in Copenhagen for a day, and they've got a... they've got probably one of the best pipe stores that you could probably see anywhere. So,
I think it's Danish Pipe.
Yep, Danish Pipe, yeah. So I'm going to make a pilgrimage over to the Danish Pipe store and see if I can pick up some things that we don't have here in the States. You've given me the list.
Right.
So we'll see how that works out, but I'm kind of looking forward to it. I've never been to Denmark, so it's really only a stopover. I'm there for a day. I didn't mind the layover, so I'm going to the UK. So that should be a fun thing to do next week.
I would think you'll see a lot of... so the Danish are well-renowned pipe carvers.
Right.
Italians, French, English, Americans, those are the major countries that mm-hmm. pipes are made. So I think you'll see a lot of high-end... some of these guys just make some gorgeous-looking...
Yeah, pipes. I'm not like a high-end pipe guy, so...
Yeah, but just
I'll
to
look
see
for a keepsake or something I can bring back. That'll be kind of cool just to say I've been there.
Yeah.
I'll kind of remember I was there. And I kind of want to check out a shop like that because we don't really have stuff like that around here we can go to.
Yeah, I can't think of one near...
I mean, you just don't get places like that in the States, so...
Maybe Manhattan.
Maybe, yeah. It would be very expensive. I don't know if this place is not going to be very expensive.
No, I
we'll
think
see.
It's going to be expensive.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But I'm kind of looking forward to that. So, all right. So, what are we going to talk about next week? I'm going to be away, and we got to lay out the plan for next week's show.
All right, what was the name of that movie?
I think it's Moonrise Kingdom. Is
okay.
That what it is? I think that's what the movie we decide we're going to do next week.
Right.
And maybe we'll do. I don't know if you're interested in doing it, but we should look at House of Cards. You should try to see if you can check out the first 5 episodes of that. That's the Netflix original.
Okay.
Stream. Might be a fun thing to do. Kevin Spacey's in it. I like that whole Netflix release a whole season at once and go through the first 5 episodes. I think it's a decent series. So, that's about all I have this week. Anything else from you?
No, I'm good.
All right. So, just so you can know where to reach us, you can reach us on Facebook at Movie Cigars and a Brew. We are on iTunes, and we're on Stitcher. So there's a lot of stuff out there. So you can find us in many different places.
Thank you.